Martha Blagan, who takes high-resolution digital images of rare books, has never worked on a book under conditions quite like these.
I have the book brought to me, and then the book gets taken away when I go to lunch, and then the book gets brought back to me.
Blagan works for Octavo, a company that produces CD-ROMs. She's taking pictures this year at the Library of Congress.
Of course, this is a beautiful book. And I love seeing the image when it comes up. And it's, of course, exciting to work with something that's so, one, rare, but I don't know anybody else that's going to ever touch this book.
In fact, she isn't allowed to touch the vellum pages, more than 5 centuries old, that she's photographing at the Library of Congress.
Yes.
That privilege is reserved only to Maria Nugent of the library's conservation lab, and she can do it only with gloves on.
Do you need to pull the phone?
Is it showing over here? If you can lift it up a little bit, I'll pull the...
Okay.
Looks good.
The book is the Gutenberg Bible, renowned as the first book printed using movable type. The Library of Congress owns one of 3 complete copies printed on vellum, fine-grained animal hide. It's one of the 3 so-called perfect copies. Digital imaging will let anyone with a computer zoom deep into the text. When you look at it that close up, words and then letters become abstract blots with edges that suggest the jagged coastlines of islands of ink in an off-white sea. Gutenberg didn't use page numbers, so Martha Blagan has to be sure that when the book is returned from its vault every morning, and then every afternoon after lunch, she's on the right page.
My biggest fear is taking the same picture twice and skipping a page that, and especially with a book that has no numbers, it's a bit of a problem. I work from a conservation report that has described every leaf of this book already. It describes whether it's the hair or the flesh side of the vellum, and whether it's recto or verso. The trouble, of course, is it's Latin, and it's kind of a German, old black letter kind of face, so I can't read this very well to tell whether it's correct or not. There are a few marks in pencil that have been put into the upper right-hand corner of some pages that record the number of the leaf. So in this case, because it's a book I have very little access to work with before shooting it, I'm going to just look for those little benchmarks as I go along to make sure that I've caught that page.
Martha Blagan's digital camera, mounted directly above the Bible, scans one page at a time. Each high-resolution image is sent by internet back to Octavo in Oakland, California, where Blagan's colleagues can see it instantly, and then back to her computer at the library. The scanning takes 6.5 minutes per page.
So it looks pretty beautiful. And this is printed. This is not manuscript. So you can actually see the shape of the letter form and the way that the ink is more transparent in the center and more bold and dark on the outside. And that depends. It depends on the formula of the ink that particular day.
Gutenberg printed his Bible in Mainz, Germany in the 1450s. In addition to the 3 so-called perfect copies, there are also incomplete copies, copies printed on paper. They are such treasured artifacts of the dawn of printing that a curious reader can't just take a magnifying lens to the page. The rare books chief at the Library of Congress, Mark Demunation, says the CD-ROM will make it easy and inexpensive for lots of people to get a close-up look at the Gutenberg Bible, including, he says, scholars.
It can allow art historians, textual historians, social and cultural historians to view texts that are important because of their text, but also because of their physical object value in a way that they just could not do.
High-resolution digital imaging has already prompted some reevaluation of Gutenberg's technique. Paul Needham, the Scheide librarian at Princeton University, along with physicist Blaise Aguera, has studied high-resolution images of Princeton's copy of the Gutenberg Bible. It's a copy printed on paper. And he says when they studied, say, all the letter A's on a single page, letters that were long thought to have been made from pieces of type punched from the same mold, they lacked a degree of consistency you would expect.
What we found is when you go to close enough detail and can really capture that in a digital image, you find such a variety of differences in small aspects of their shapes and so forth, that each type had to be made as an individual object somehow, and they were not these multiple castings that had always been assumed.
So you're saying that this process of creating the type was much more bit by bit, item by item than mass created.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, they must have figured out a sort of a quasi mass production way to do this, where maybe you'd say for a day you'd have, oh, a couple of different people making as many A's as they could in that day. It may be at the end of the day you could get a couple hundred of them, but still each time you needed a new one, you needed to make that A shape one more time, and that was a hand process. So it's really right on the borderline between what we think of as mass production and what we think of as item-by-item hand production.
So does that mean that the moment of innovation, of really going to mass-produced movable type, comes later than we thought it did?
Yeah, I'd say it. I mean, Blaise and I are really trying to pin down exactly where that change came, and we have some ideas, but they don't quite reach the level of proof for us yet, but roughly 20 years after Gutenberg's invention, say around 1470 rather than 1450, this second change was made, and by another brilliant mind in the printing trade, probably in Italy, and that then over the next years swept through the printing trade and revolutionized typemaking.
Perhaps, says printing historian Paul Needham of Princeton University, Nicholas Jensen of Venice deserves more credit for the breakthrough. Needham says the more high-resolution images of different copies of the Gutenberg Bible, the more he and his physicist colleague Blaise Aguera can test their hypothesis. The master images used by Octavo for its Library of Congress project will help them. The more compressed images that we might see on a CD won't have quite the resolution Paul Needham is looking for, but it is possible that this near-microscopic inspection of Gutenberg's Bible will lead to a reevaluation of the invention in Mainz more than 500 years ago, that perhaps it was not the defining breakthrough we've long supposed it was.
And you'll find more on the Gutenberg Bible Project on our website, npr.org.